From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Guilty Movie Pleasures. And now, here are your hosts, two of the guiltiest cats I know, Josh McCouga and Steve Simone.
Oh.
What up, Schmoville?
Schmoville. Guess who's back? If you guys have never seen Big Trouble in Little China, you don't know what we're talking about, so don't listen to the show until you've actually watched that movie.
Or listen to the show and then go, all right, maybe I'll go check out that movie.
It's a good call. I mean, listen, this show is always full of spoilers, so the audience should always be aware that we're going to do that.
Yep, very good point.
But if you guys want to hear spoilers and then go watch how awesome these spoilers actually are, just go do that. This is our gang symbol for the day. This is what we'll be doing a lot of ninja push. That was a good deep breath. That was a
ninja
good
magic.
Yeah. Steve, how are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing awesome.
Yeah?
Did you see Sin City this weekend?
I didn't see Sin City.
I think we weren't the only two people that didn't see it.
Well, that's why we're doing Big Trouble in Little China Day, is because Sin City came out this past weekend and it ate complete shit. I mean, it died hard. It only made like $6.5 million as compared to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is in its fourth week, which made almost 20.
Wow.
And I think the budget, JT, can you look up the budget for us on Sin City? It had to be somewhere around $150 million.
Wow. And well, you know what I didn't realize? Until we went back and revisited Big Trouble in Little China, I didn't realize that was a box office bomb.
Oh, ate all kinds of shit. It was, I think the budget was $25 million and it only made gross over its entire time in the theaters $11
million. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's such a good movie.
It's fantastic. It really is really good. And, you know, it came after Escape from New York, which was Kurt Russell and John Carpenter's first one together.
One of my all-time favorites.
Awesome.
And I haven't seen that in forever. We're going to have to watch that again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe even tied in with Escape from L.A. because that's another Kurt Russell
Dude, yeah. Kurt Russell has had one of the most fun careers ever.
I was saying, what, you got the budget?
It says not available, but the rumor is it's around $40
million. For Sin City, that was it?
Yeah, because Robert Rodriguez does a lot of stuff his own in his studio.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Makes sense. I mean, the movie is basically like half a cartoon, half live action. So, and then they did the thing, Carpenter and Kurt Russell did.
Oh, I haven't seen that in forever.
And that was, I mean, a very underrated movie. And that, from what JT told me in the car, that was his favorite Carpenter movie, period. And it may just be John Carpenter's best. But if you look at John Carpenter's IMDb,
it's amazing.
He's got,
did They Live, right?
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. He did. And not only that, but he performed the song at the end of this movie.
Like, Get out of here.
Yeah, he's in a band. He scored movies. He directed movies. He was an actor, producer. He did everything. That
seems
dude
like
was
he
a
just
legend.
Figured it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And he was just like, you know what? I don't care if I make movies that people are going to talk about on a Guilty Movie Pleasure show. I just had a great time doing these
Isn't that
movies.
What it should really ultimately be about? Just having fun and enjoying it?
Yeah, and not caring what critics come and say, like, oh, Let's Be Cops sucked. It got 11% of Rotten Tomatoes. I love Let's Be Cops.
Was it funny?
It was
I haven't
fantastic.
Seen it.
Yeah.
I see Damon Jr. at the gym all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. I never know what to say.
He's so funny.
Because, like, I got introduced to him once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because he does stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple of mutual stand-up comedian friends, but okay. I'm always like, yeah, he doesn't want to talk to me. So I just pretend he's not there.
I kind of do that with girls anyway. JT, let's play the trailer to this movie, and then we're going to get into the plot and then get... I mean, this movie, just too
awesome.
Much fun. It's
yeah,
much
and
fun.
So much happened. I was like, I hope Josh is smarter than me so he can explain the plot.
Okay, good.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Trailer. Trailer.
I'm guessing
trailer.
This is where you see coming soon.
And the Pork Chop Express, and I'm talking about
the Pork Chop Express.
It's a pretty amazing planet we live on here, and a man would have to be some kind of fool to think we're all alone in this universe.
There is a hidden world where ancient evil weaves a modern mystery.
What's going on here? Is some kind of
magic, the darkest magic.
Dude.
They call it Little China.
Finally, we shall bring order out of chaos.
Does it make sense that it's called Little China instead of Chinatown? Because there's no, like, Little China anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Maybe that's what they call Chinatown in San Francisco?
Or maybe they didn't get the rights to call it
Chinatown?
Chinatown?
Or maybe they didn't want to... Nobody would confuse it with Chinatown starring Jack Nicholson, would they?
I wouldn't think so.
Or maybe they just wanted it to sound cool because it's Big Trouble. In Little China.
That makes sense. Yeah. So the actual writers of the title, because like Big Trouble in Chinatown, That would almost sound like a sequel to Chinatown Jack Nicholson. And then Jack Nicholson probably was like, I don't want to be associated with this movie.
Yeah, and just the title's perfect. Yeah. Trouble in Little China.
And I remember when JT, you can cut this if you want. It's a great trailer. So if you guys haven't seen the movie, finish watching the show, go watch the trailer, and then go pick it up. It was streaming on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can live stream it on Netflix. It's fantastic. As opposed to us trying to find like illegal links to movies
on YouTube.
I think the beautiful part about this movie is that when I pulled it up on the Netflix streaming, I was thinking to myself, when I saw it as a kid, I was like, oh, this movie's like 2.5 hours long. It's a minute 36 or an hour 36. It's only 96 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, it seems longer. Yeah. Even last night, it seemed longer because just so much happens.
It's kind of like Speed. You know, at the beginning of Speed, it just is action packed from beginning to end. It's not exactly like the best movie, but there's not a dull moment when you're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. It's so much fun for that. Yeah. Yes.
And Kurt Russell's character, Jack Burton. I mean, can you think of a better name?
It's classic. How would you describe him?
Kind of like that Little League coach that was like the cool dad, but he was like, he got divorced early, but he came to like coach and he'd show up to games with like jean jackets on and like
with a beer in his hand and no shame.
Yeah. And like telling anecdotes that are way too inappropriate. Fifth graders. Look.
If you ever make your way over to the, I was going to say something.
Gina's down at the snack bar. Great set of cans on Gina, am I right?
Get a couple drinks in her and...
I don't want to tell you kids how to live your life, but when you're my age, woo. But he's like, he starts out and he's on that CB radio. We don't hear anybody else responding to him on the CB radio, right?
Yeah, he's just almost like giving like a verbal blog before his time. He was doing like a podcast before there was podcasts
on a CB radio from his truck.
I wouldn't say I'm lonely, but I'm gonna keep on talking until this trip's over.
And nobody's listening to him. And his truck is called the Pork Chop Express, for Christ's sake.
So great.
I mean, that's the name of a meal at a roadside diner somewhere in the middle of America.
You know what? One day we're gonna have to do a Schmo's field trip.
Schmo's field trip. We'll get my mom to sponsor because she was a school teacher. Yeah,
and just go like to diners and truck stops and talk movies. And how much fun would that be?
Oh, actually? And we call our van the Pork Chop Express.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the plot because we're really good at running these things down. And I think amidst the plots, we'll get into. You know what? Let's start with. Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
Here's the thing. Texting my brother. Okay. I'm pretty sure this is what went down.
Okay.
I think my brother went. I think the Murrays that lived across the street took my brother to the movies once during the day, and he came back bragging about how fun it was, and then I refused to see it.
Out of spite for your brother.
Yeah, I think what it was, he was like, oh, and Dan, there's monsters that know how to do karate, and I was like, I call BS, no way. There's no karate monsters.
And you didn't sneak out to try and see, because this movie was rated R. It was? Yeah, there was an F-bomb dropped in there.
Maybe my dad had it. I remember my brother seeing it, and first time I ever saw it beginning to end.
PG-13.
Okay.
My bad.
You know what? I have this memory from almost 30 years ago of my brother seeing it with the Merry Boys.
Okay.
Not Kenny, just Brian and Chris, the twins.
The Merry Boys.
Yeah.
They sound real masculine.
No, the Murrays, like Bill Murray.
Oh, Murray. I think you said Merry.
Like my boy Eddie Murray, son.
Got it.
Yeah, and I remember him talking about how awesome it was. And then this other kid, Jason, who lived in my neighborhood, he had also seen it. And then all the other kids were talking about how – before there was podcasts, guys, what you would do is you would see a movie, and then you would get on your bike and then just go tell your friends about how awesome the movie was.
And make them feel bad about
not seeing it. And then I was like, I don't even want to see the movie.
Yeah, you wanted to be the cool kid that hadn't seen it.
And you know what? And I remember it being on cable and stuff forever.
It always comes on somewhere.
Somewhere. But I've never seen it from beginning to end. And it was unbelievably awesome and fun. And it made me realize they don't know how to make movies that... I don't know if you would say this was an action movie, if this was a sci-fi movie, if this was a comedy. It brought all those elements together, and it was just fun.
Yes.
And like you said, maybe the plot wasn't stellar, but there's nonstop action, nonstop fun,
right?
And it's like the type of movie that I think a 6-year-old now, or a 12-year-old now, or a 14-year-old now, who's never seen it, would love it just as much as we did when we were
kids. I agree. If you, again, I think the point of this show, what we're trying to get about, and it doesn't matter if we talk about movies from 1986 or we talk about movies from 2010. If you want to just have a good time at a movie and suspend belief to a certain extent. Listen, we're not talking about robots riding robot dinosaurs, okay? Like Transformers. We're talking about just going to a movie and enjoying yourself without being the consummate critic.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, allow yourself to enjoy it.
Right. So if you allow yourself to enjoy Big Trouble in Little China, you will get the biggest kick out of this
movie. Yeah, it's awesome.
Because I remember, here's the thing. One of my best friends from high school, his name is Max Young. Awesome, awesome dude. He was one of four kids, right? And they had a ski cabin up at Hidden Valley, okay?
Which was
Oh, yeah. And we used to watch Dumb and Dumber and Big Trouble in Little China, like, on loop the whole weekend.
That sounds ought to. Yes, I could see that easily.
And we would go up to girls at this place called the Clock Tower, which is where you'd, like, had dinner and whatever.
Out.
Yeah, and he would go.
Meet you. That sounds like an 80s movie. Yeah. We're going to go meet at the clock tower.
Oh, it was just like as you'd imagine, right?
Girls once again, it's on.
And we would do the Jack Burton lines, and nobody would get
them.
Oh,
that's hysterical.
And we would act like we were Jack Burton. We'd walk in there with, like, we were all cock of the walk as Jack Burton would. Because he starts on this CB radio, and then he all of a sudden, he's just like, plowed into this Asian, Chinese, 2,000-year-old war.
Yes.
And no
explanation. What I thought was awesome, well, it all starts with his drinking and gambling habit. Right? He's on a seat. First, it opens up with that egg guy.
Egg Shen.
Talking to a police officer or a detective.
He's basically doing like a deposition in a law office.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And he's like, I refuse to turn in Jack Burton. I'm about to say Jack Bauer.
Well, Jack Burton was the precursor to Jack Bauer, let's be honest.
So then... And then it cuts to him hanging out, gambling all night long, winning.
No problem.
And then he's with his buddy,
Wang.
Challenges him, who says double or nothing.
Nothing or double.
Nothing or double. Is that what it was?
They flipped it. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
To smash the bottle, right?
Yes, yes. Actor's name is Dennis. No, he says he can cut the bottle in half with like a machete-looking meat cleaver, which... I mean, listen, they're Asian. As a white man, I always think that an Asian can do anything they claim can do because they have special powers, okay? And so he can't do it. He wins nothing or double. But there's something that, like, he's like, don't worry about it. You have to come back to my place and I'll pay you. I don't have the money on me.
Yeah.
So they go to their place and all of a sudden they're in an alley in a truck.
Nope.
What am I missing?
We missed, because no, he's, remember, he was like, I got to go to the restaurant, I got to do this, but first I have to pick up my fiance from the airport.
Right.
This is like the inciting incident. This is where it goes down.
Right. And this is where we get our first shot of Kim Cattrall, and she is smoking hot in this movie.
Yeah, I never, like, I don't want to, how can I say this?
Not go ahead.
She was really pretty in this movie.
Oh my God.
Like, I went, oh, that's why people think she's
attractive.
Hot. Yeah. Because I didn't think she was attractive later in her career.
Well, in Sex and the City, I think she would have been way more attractive had she played like the innocent woman. But she played like that raging slut, and I never really found that too attractive. But she was in, she was in Mannequin, right?
I think she was in Porky's as well.
Was she? Hold on, let me pull this up. Mannequin. Yeah, she played the mannequin in Mannequin. Mark Ellis is going to hate me for not knowing that because he's probably quoted it like 50 times, like Kim Cattrall is Mannequin. But she was smoking hot in that movie.
He's watching the podcast right now. Mannequin. Mention Mannequin.
Had he been on the couch like he was the first? Go ahead, JTE, what you got, buddy?
Let's not forget she was in the classic Police Academy.
Oh, yes! She was in Police Academy. Oh, JTE coming in hot. Thank you for that great addition. We don't get JTE involved enough in this show.
Bro, that was classic. That was like at the buzzer, half court shot. Police Academy.
Trained. And you're hitting something that JTE knows well. He says he's a basketball player. I can't see it, but apparently he is. He's back there laughing. And so, okay, so now he's got to go to the airport to meet his fiance. And he says, as she's getting off the plane, Jack, she's got green eyes. Do you know how rare that is?
Yeah.
And that's just like the little seed put in
They're planting the plot seed.
Yeah. Now, who shows up at the airport?
The bad guys.
Yeah. Then the bad guys are dressed.
There was the street gang bad guys.
Yeah, and they're dressed sort of like they're in an Asian, like a 1980s Asian boy band. Like
they kind of look like they have breakdancing skills and not necessarily martial arts skills.
Sort of like, what's that, the Jabberwockies. They almost look like 1980s Jabberwockies.
Yeah, but during that time, I'm old enough to remember that era where, like, my dad would see kids like, hey, look at those punk rocker kids. So there was like this hybrid of kids just trying to be cool. They look like punk rocker martial artist breakdancers, if you ask me. They have purple mohawks and leather fingerless gloves and S&M bracelets.
Holy shit, that's incredible.
Right, like, oh my God. There was, my point being that, like, all different sort of subculture things overlap because people just wanted to be cool.
Yeah, I feel like they just put accessories on these kids.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're in a street gang now.
Yeah.
So they kidnap, they're trying to kidnap the one Asian girl, right, that is there to see Kim Cattrall.
See, this is where it gets a little confusing for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kim Cattrall plays an attorney, right? So she's at the airport.
Does she say attorney?
Or yeah.
Oh, she's attorney. Okay.
Yeah. Because then the other lady that winds up showing up is the reporter.
Who is Jack Burton's sister. Her name is Kate Burton in the movie.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So, okay.
Or that's just a coincidence.
Okay. So, Wang, who is Jack Burton's drinking buddy, gambling buddy, and the guy who's going to the airport to pick up his fiance. He saved every penny he's earned for the last 5 years to bring back this green-eyed beauty.
Yet he's now they're gambling at the, with
yes,
Jack Burton.
Please. Makes no sense. Sure. So then Jack Burton's there to hang out with his buddy and to make sure he gets paid.
Correct.
And sees Kim Cattrall and he's like, who's that hot babe?
Yeah.
And then Wang, his buddy's like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
And then the
don't even try,
Kim Cattrall is there to make sure some other chick getting off the plane from Peking or whatever doesn't get kidnapped by the punk rocker breakdancing karate gang because they're going to sell her in a
slavery, a sex slavery. I'm
guessing.
Like some
it's
sort
pretty
of
adult.
It's an adult theme and not crazily adult.
Right, because then she kidnaps the other girl. So then they kidnap the girl with green eyes
they're
instead.
Just like, well, there's one more Asian girl at the airport. Might as well steal her.
Steal her.
Right.
So now Jack Burton and Wang go to save his green-eyed fiance.
Correct.
So and now down the rabbit hole we go.
Exactly. So now they drive his truck. Again, if we haven't stressed this enough, that Jack Burton is a badass truck driver. He's driving an 18-wheeler. He's now in Chinatown. He's dropped off his load of whatever he's delivering to Chinatown, and I know where you're going with the load. Okay, I got you. And he gets in this alley, and now they're in the midst of
okay, this was the coolest scene ever,
without a doubt. They're in the midst of an Asian gang shootout fight. They all have like machetes, samurai swords, guns. They have every weapon. At one point, they all have swords, and then you turn around the next minute, they all have crazy guns.
Yeah, that was it. Got heightened fast,
right?
And then it went from like fists to martial arts weapons to guns. To magic.
Like immediately.
Yep.
Right?
Like
and,
that.
And the crazy part is that Wang and Jack Burton don't leave the truck.
Yeah.
They're
they
in
just
the midst
stay.
Of a hail of gunfire and no bullet hits the truck.
Not at all.
Not a bullet, whatever. They're like, holy cow. And they're just like commenting and the camera will cut to them and they're just like, oh, they're making these reactions.
Well,
shots.
I thought the coolest was, I forget this guy's name. He's one of my favorite extra martial arts stunt actors of all time. We could
pull him up. Which one? Who does he play?
He's just an extra in it. He's the guy that was like in a couple episodes of the A-Team. He's the Asian guy with the Fu Manchu and
he
the
was
crazy
in,
hair.
He was in Starsky and Hutch. He had
he's
the little
been in
kid,
everything. Yeah.
And Kid Through the Knives
yes.
with Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I forget his name. I just looked him up last night. Okay. It's like something
he was
Liang.
In Die Hard also.
Yeah, he was in Die Hard.
Yes.
Dude, he's in everything. He's my favorite person. And I was reading about him last night too because I did a podcast once and I went, that guy's, nope, that's not him.
That's not him.
You spell his last name like L-E-O-N-G or something like that.
Long? Leong?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was totally something different than...
No, this dude's awesome.
Okay, let me...
And he's the one, like, you just see him in the middle of the street gang, and he's like...
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And then, so they're in the middle of the street gang, and then all of a sudden, three dudes descend from the sky.
Yeah.
And they're wearing, you know how like in like Vietnam, they have those like the rice paddy hats that they have to wear to block out the sun? These guys have ones that are like 15 times the size and look like lampshades at my Aunt Norris's house.
Yeah, they almost look like aliens, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like, I didn't know if they came from another dimension or a spaceship or...
There's lightning all around them. They have a superpower, obviously.
Yeah, and they were kind of... It reminded me a little bit of The Last Dragon, another one of my favorite martial arts movies.
I don't think I've ever seen The
Last Dragon. Oh, my God, we have... Dude, The Last Dragon's amazing.
JT, have you seen The Last Dragon? JT is pissed.
Have I seen The Last Dragon?
Dude, isn't that one of the best movies ever? When I say, who's the master, you say, show enough.
Who's in this movie?
Oh, bro, it came out like a year before Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
And it talks about the glow. When you're the master, your hands will glow.
Okay.
Dude, we're going to have... Okay, we'll have to figure out a reason to watch that movie coming up.
Okay, so...
But it's very similar. It's like, this movie is The Last Dragon plus Gremlins, kind of.
This sounds perfect. Holy shit. Okay, so... So now these guys descend from the sky, and now this is the time we're like, Jack, we got to get out of here. Not when they were fighting in front of the truck and there was swords.
Not when there was bullets.
And there was guns. No, they're like, as soon as lightning appears in the form of a human being, who's like, run these guys over with your truck.
Yes.
Right? So he runs them over, or they jump out of the way. They like the one jumps, and the other one just goes straight vertical.
Yes.
Right? Like he's in an elevator. Yes. On fire.
And then Lo Pan's there,
then
right?
Lo Pan shows
for
up.
For no reason.
No reason. And they crush him with the truck. And you see him like get hit with the truck, and then he doesn't appear, and then he's fine on the other side. And that's when Jack Burton's like, well,
what was that, man?
Yeah.
Because he had lasers coming out of his eyes and his mouth.
Yeah. So now they're in the midst of like, holy cow, we just stumbled upon this 2,000-year-old war. And this is when Egg Shen starts telling him about like what's going on.
Yeah. Is that okay? Because I got confused because so much happens. This is like, okay. So it starts off. They're gambling. They go to the airport to pick up the fiance, and then boom! From that point on, it's pretty much nonstop action.
It's a war underground of Little China, not Chinatown. It's Little China,
because they witness this street fight in the alley,
right?
And then don't they have to flee on foot? They leave his truck there.
They leave his truck. Now the funny thing is they cut to them in like Egg Shen's restaurant or whatever is like, or Wang's cousin's restaurant, and Kim Cattrall's already there, and the other girl's there, and they're talking about how they need to get Mo Pan. What's
Lo Pan's like the gangster who's also a demon.
No, the girl that he's in love with.
I forget her name. The girl with green eyes.
Wang. Nope, that's
the girl with green eyes.
Yeah, the girl with green eyes. Let's just call her whatever. Mua Yin. Mia. Susie Pai is the actress's name. Mia Yin is the girl's name. Okay.
Okay.
Now they're talking about how they have to go get it. And Egg Shen's like, listen, you can't just go into Lo Pan's dungeon and expect to get her. And then they have this legend of like this green-eyed thing.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, Jack Burton's like, listen, nobody takes my truck and gets away with it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll go take on anybody. I don't care if they're black magic Chinese emperors, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, as soon as they go in there, they like take an elevator. They, like,
okay, wait. Doesn't something happen? Wasn't there a scene before that where he like dresses up as a nerd?
Oh, right.
And they go to the brothel.
Right. And he's wearing the same suit that he wore in Used Cars.
Used Cars, another classic.
Yeah. So he goes in there and he tries to like, he tries to infiltrate this brothel.
Yeah. So I don't remember, because like I said, I'm not, so much happens in the movie. So they find out a little bit about Lo Pan, but I don't. Right. Do they know if Lo Pan's the black magic guy yet?
No. Yes, they know the because he's a legend underground. Like,
okay.
Egg Shen is like another sorcerer, but we don't really know Egg Shen is until a little bit later in the movie. Anyway, okay. So he's in the brothel, and then he's asked about this girl with the green eyes, but he's acting like he's a used car salesman, right? And then all of a sudden, Lo Pan finds out about this girl with the green eyes in
and
the brothel.
And then he, like, kidnaps her or something.
Well,
right?
He, like,
magically
lights the brothel up.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, blows
like
up the brothel.
Like Ghostbusters style.
Correct. Yeah. On Ghostbusters 2, when they have the thing on the top. And so they kidnap the girl with the green eyes. Now they have to go find, like, now they have to infiltrate Lo Pan's castle.
So now, the green-eyed girl gets kidnapped. So now they have to go to the real underground.
Right. And let's be honest. The girls that are in this movie, if we're talking ladies of Big Trouble in Little China, Kim Cattrall looking smoking.
Yeah, she was great.
Mao Yin is, I mean, an Asian girl with green eyes.
Hot. But you know what? Incredible. I even thought the other Asian chick was just as hot. She was pretty cute. The one that we just sort of forget exists.
Oh, yeah, because she didn't get kidnapped, so she just got, like, shunned aside.
Yeah.
And then Kim Cattrall's, like, not-so-hot friend slash Jack Burton's sister, which we're not really sure.
Yeah, the reporter
chick. She just kind of looked like a busted April O'Neil.
Right? I don't know who April O'Neil is.
The Ninja Turtles you're wearing.
Oh, okay. I thought that was somebody we knew. I thought that was, like, a comedian. I was like, did I go to middle school with her?
She was one of the Murray's girlfriends. Yeah.
She went to the movies with your little brother and Brian and Chrissy Murray.
Yeah, she saw before you did. So then they like go into this, what looks like an old, it's like a warehouse for Asian trinkets that they're like selling in Little China.
Yeah.
But they have like things, and then they get in the elevator and they get down there.
I love, okay, how awesome are secret passageways?
Oh, incredible.
The coolest thing ever.
This movie
right?
had more secret passageways.
More secret passageways. Yeah, that's what made this. There was awesome karate fights. Mm-hmm. There was awesome magical karate fights. There was gunfights, knife fights, secret passageways. We haven't even gotten into the monsters.
No.
Hot chicks, delicious Chinese food.
Yeah. Chinese food in movies
always looks delicious.
So
right?
good. And they're always eating noodles out of a box. And to this day, I will not eat noodles out of the box.
Yeah, it's so good. But I, what is that? What kind of noodles are those? Is that what it is? It's lo mein.
Yeah, or chow fun. But so So now they're in the elevator. The elevator starts filling up and with water. And then they're like, oh, we're done.
Yes.
And they open up the elevator, which if you know anything about physics and water pressure on a door, they can't
Pretty
open
difficult.
That.
Pretty difficult.
They can't do that. They get out and there's just like bodies hanging with like crabs
Scary.
Eating them.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Goonies. A little bit.
This
yeah.
was like an Asian Goonies at this part.
Yes.
Right? It's like the Chinese Goonies underneath. And so finally they get to this thing and they get out of the water and then they look up and there's like the head badass dude of Lopan's gang. The guy that blows up.
Yeah. Right?
So he gets him out and he ties him to wheelchairs for whatever reason, blindfolds him, and then it leaves him for whatever. They don't like really know what to do with him.
Yeah.
They should have just killed him, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't die right away.
But
that's what makes all action movies awesome.
Right. So then Jack Burton figures out that he can like rock the wheelchair over and get out, and then so then they come back to see him, and he jumps on the one dude's shoulder, and he's like, make a move, and the dude makes a move and like whips him off.
Yeah, yeah, so great. Like, that was part of the reason why this movie's so awesome. There's so many laughs in it.
Oh, it's incredible.
So many laughs.
Because Jack Burton has amazing one-liners, right? Yep. Amazing one-liners. There's a bunch of them, but I think we'll do the one at the end, because it's maybe the best one in
okay.
ever. But, and he like every time he tries to do something powerful, he botches it.
Yeah, it's great,
right? It's like you and your brother trying to be ninjas, but none of you are trained ninjas.
Exactly.
Right. That remember the movie Beverly Hills Ninja with Chris Farley?
Loved it.
He's like the precursor to Beverly Hills Ninjas. Sort yeah. of. He had his buddy who was, he was the Chinese dude that was going to save his fiance. So he obviously knew karate, but Jack Burton didn't. All Jack Burton knew how to do was try and punch dudes in the face as hard as he could.
Yeah, and pull out a sweet knife out of his.
That kind of look like a
fruity,
Ginzu.
And it's fruity like pirate boots. Yeah. He's like, goes into those and pulls out a knife.
The best is when they give him the machine gun, which is about now, right? He gets yeah. the machine gun. They go in with...
Well, there's the shotgun, the pistol, and the machine gun. And it was very funny how he...
They all yeah, got yeah. it, right? I'll take that one. And then he gets the dude that's wearing like the plaid suit gets the crappy pistol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then they go in there and they have to... They find this place where they think they're going to get Mao Yin, but it's like a whole bunch of girls in cages, like in Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, where they're all just like in cages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they have to free these people. So they go in there and there's like this random fight with these girls with bamboo sticks.
Like, oh, now they're like girl yeah, they're ninjas. Like guard. Yeah, the girl ninjas are guarding the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I didn't really, and we never saw any more girl ninjas the rest of the time we were there. Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff in this movie.
And so all the girls are in cages. The reporter's writing what seems to be a romance novel. Kim Cattrall is just sitting there looking all pretty, and Jack Burton has no idea how they're going to get out. Then they beat the girls, and then all the cages release, and they fall down this tube and then swim to freedom through what seems like a hole way too small for you to feel safe swimming through.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to jump in the water, and the first move is I know where there's a tunnel.
Yes.
So I don't know where they found that tunnel.
Yeah, it's just a whole adventure.
Yeah. So then they get up. And they get the girls to safety, except Kim Cattrall, like, a door opens. She's like, oh, what's down this hallway? And a giant monster that looks like it's from Labyrinth grabs her.
Yes.
Okay. Where does this monster come from?
I don't know.
And why is it down there? And why? There was no real rhyme or reason for that monster to
nope.
be down there.
Not at all.
There was never any mention in the folklore of this nope. monster that we were like a foreshadowing. It comes out of absolute nowhere.
Yep.
He's got giant claws. He looks like a bad mask that you get on Halloween that was in the real expensive section. You know what I mean? Like, Mom, I want that mask. And she's like, dream on, idiot.
Those $50 rubber masks.
Yeah, you're not getting that one,
They're
Josh.
Movie props. They're not even Halloween costumes.
John, he wants to get the mask. Yeah, okay, like we're going to get him that one.
Time out, idiot. Sidebar. How great was Halloween shopping when you were a kid figuring yeah. out your costume and looking at all the masks?
And knowing full well that your mom was only going to spend $20 on your yeah. costume. Like,
how am I going to bump her up to 50?
But
what
Mom,
can I do?
Look at how great I'd look.
Nobody will know who I am if I
You're
wear
You're
going
to wear your Kermit the Frog again. Just shut up. So the monster...
Being 11 was awesome.
Yeah, wasn't it though? So then they get on the bus. And this was probably... The first time I saw this movie was probably when I was 11. Not even to say.
Yep. I'd say that's a good age to watch this movie.
So the reporter gets on the bus. Everybody gets on the bus. Jack, everybody except for the two people that they're trying to get. Kim Cattrall doesn't make it because she gets
yeah.
the monster. And we still haven't seen Mao Yin. Right?
Yeah. Because she's floating for some reason.
Right.
Because of magic.
Right.
She's like in a state of suspended disbelief floating in the air.
I think the perfect hashtag for this movie is because of magic. Hashtag because of magic is what you just said.
Because of magic.
You just go in and she's in this pristine room and she's just floating there in this flowing white gown and like creepy, really old Lopan, who we forgot to mention. They met Lopan. Remember them and they met Lopan and he was like dying.
Yeah.
He looked like
Because there's two different versions of Lopan, right?
Yeah, there's Lopan, the creepy old man.
Who's like, that's why he needs to get married to a lady with green eyes, right?
Right, so he can get flesh and become human again as the Lopan we see later in the movie.
Yeah, who's like the ghost Lopan.
Right, right. But he's
got
like,
that at home, Schmoes?
You figuring that one out? There's two Lopans in one body. We'll go with that?
Yeah.
You got it? Okay, so they go back to the sweet Chinese food store, right?
Yes.
And they're eating more Chinese noodles that look delicious.
Yes.
And they team up with the gang, the good gang, in the original gang shootout.
Yes.
Okay. So the guys that do this, there's the guys that do the pinkies together, and then the guys that do the like the sort of the Hunger Games move, I guess.
Yes.
You kind of see it. So they're like, oh, these guys are going to help us. No problem. Like, all right, great. So we forgot to talk when they were trying to get the girls out of that thing. They go to the thing and he opens the door and the whole gang is standing there and then they have
hysterical.
To close it. That's an amazing part. And then Jack goes to like, and he comes back to help him fight and Wang's already killed everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then there was... how they lied to get into the building. Hey, we just got to go check on something. So great. I love all those laughs. Like, I'm going to put on a disguise and nobody will know who I am. That sort of stuff.
It's like they were checking the cable box or something like that. No, it was like a phone line. Whatever. Awesome. So then they get and they're like, listen, we got to take down Chow Fun. Lopan. But Lopan is being... we don't realize until now that Egg Shen is... a sorcerer, and he's got all these old chemicals and bombs and everything.
Yeah,
and he basically does the commando where he like straps himself full of Chinese.
Yeah, but with magic remedies
because of magic. And now they're ready to take on Lopan.
Yeah, and he's got the special bottle for the end,
right? Which looks like a gourd.
Yes, it does. Halloween gourd.
Right, and then they're getting ready, and they get to this one part, and they get down to like what seems like the frat bar in the basement of Lopan's place, and like, all right, it's time to take your magic potion.
Yes,
and then instead of doing some kind of like Chinese ritual, they're just like, to America.
Yeah, they just start to the army and the navy, the red, white, and blue, these colors don't run. Whatever was awesome.
Yeah, so then they're like, they're in the elevator, and it's kind of like when you do mushrooms and you're like, I'm feeling pretty good. Are you feeling it? I'm feeling it.
Yeah, essentially it was just whiskey. It was the magic potion.
Yeah. And the door opens, and then all of a sudden they can jump like the guys with the lightning can.
Yeah.
And they get to Lopan's like major situation, like his big lair.
Well, because he's going to be getting married. He has to marry one of the girls with green eyes.
Right. Yeah. And now
that then guess what? He's going to marry both of them.
Two eyes because he's a selfish bastard.
Yeah.
Two girls with green eyes now gives him super the power.
Yeah, because then he could kill one and stay married to one.
Right. Which is... sort of, I mean, that sounds...
And then there's that giant blob thing that's kind of like in Flash Gordon. You remember in Flash Gordon? It was kind of like what's happening now with the drones,
yes,
where they can watch us forever. And this
Except
is like
it looks like a cabbage pa- or a garbage pail kid.
Yeah, it looks like a garbage pail kid and kind of like that thing they turned Chet into from Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's just like and it's got a million eyes on it.
And it's a floating orb.
Yeah.
Basically. And it Lopan can control it like it's a remote control.
Yes.
It's his drone, okay?
Yes.
And he finds out that they're all there, and they infiltrate it. And then we get to Lopan's lair, and we realize that it's like a club in 1980s Miami. It's just got like...
Crockett and Tubbs are in the corner doing shots.
Scarface is at a table getting shot up.
That's hysterical. So, Belzer's on stage doing comedy.
Just one-liner after one-liner. And then all of a sudden, because they have the super juice in them, they can fight...
Everybody.
And the lightning dudes don't have what they have, and everybody kind of like squares off with one another. But Jack Burton like fires guns in the ceiling, and the ceiling falls him and knocks him out.
Yeah,
at the beginning
most
of the
fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So then he saves Kim Petrell, and then Kim Petrell and her having like what is the equivalent of a marital spat in the midst of pure pandemonium.
Yeah, and it's also very Han Solo, Princess Leia, right?
Very much so. Or Indiana Jones and every love interest in all the movies that he has.
Yes.
Right. So finally, they like Lopan takes the girls. He takes Mao Yin because that's the only way he can stay alive. Is like if he keeps taking her flesh and like making him into flesh.
Right? Yeah, and he's got to like do something with her blood or something. Right.
So he's always like sucking her blood and like stabbing her with needles.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
They get up to his what could be his like his sitting room, like his cigar room, which just has like gold Buddha statues.
Oh yeah.
Right. And they're up in there, and he's like, "Get out of here!" And then so Jack Burton tries to throw his knife at him because that's the Jack Burton move. Because all he has is the
hysterical,
knife.
Hysterical. Yeah.
He misses it. It hits the gun. Lopan picks it up, whips it back at Jack Burton. Jack Burton catches it one hand.
That was awesome.
Throws it, puts it right in his head, and he's like, "It's all in the reflexes."
Yeah, that's the best. To me, that's my, because he says that at the beginning of the movie too, right?
Right. Now, what we glazed over, and I think is our greatest one-liner of the whole movie, is they're in that fight scene, and he's just made out with Geisha.
Kim Cattrall,
and he's got the lipstick on his face, and they're up there, and he's about to throw the knife at whoever, and he's like, "You know what old Jack Burton says at a time like this? JT, could you play that for me? I don't think I can do it justice."
"Nah, you know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Cool.
Jack Burton, me. What the hell?"
Hysterical.
It's so good. And that was the thing. My buddy Max Young used to say that to girls all the time. Or like if we were in a sticky situation in travel baseball, like, and there was like full count, and he like pulls out, "You know what all this Jack Burton always says?" It was incredible. So then he throws the knife, throws it, and Lopan dies. All is well, except that now they still have to fight the guy that is throwing the lightning around.
Yeah, I really thought that as soon as Lopan died, everybody else would just kind of give up.
Yeah, no, they're still fighting the good fight. And in classic like Asian karate movies, they don't go right into the fight. They have to do their theatrics. They're like, da-na-na-na-na-na, and he's shooting lightning everywhere. And Egg Shen is like, "This is where I come in," right? And then instead of like they all avoid, they like run out, they get up there, they have like this what is like a short rounds thing in the Goonies. He shoots it in there, and they like run little ropes up into the thing. And then Egg Shen just like drops a big Buddha on it. That's what kills him. That's just what kills Lightning Man.
Yeah, it all happened so fast.
And then that's it. And then at the end, they're all like sitting around, like giggling up, like, "Yo, we just ended a 2,000-year-old war. Congratulations." And then instead of Jack Burton sticking around to be with Kim Cattrall, he's like, "Ah, sorry, time to get back on the Pork Chop Express.
Babe, I'm leaving. I must be on my way." Yeah, and then he's at the end, right? He just leaves her there.
Doesn't even give her a kiss goodbye. Not my style. Just wearing his Harley Davidson set and Jack Burton hitting the open road.
And then, do you remember the last image of the movie?
Yeah, the monster's
on the
truck.
The monster's on the back of his truck.
We never killed the monster. He's there. So what is that? Opening for a sequel? Was that the thought?
I'd pay to see that sequel right now.
Just versus the monster, or like a short film of Kurt Russell and the monster shot?
That would be awesome.
You know what it would have probably
Drinking
would have
buddies,
done?
Him and the monster on vacation.
High fives, free frames. But like in movies now, it probably wouldn't, like, we had to wait to the end of the credits, and then there's a picture of like Jack Burton at a truck stop, and he like kills the monster. He's like, "How much you guys want for this monster head?" Like,
there would be that little egg Easter egg at the end, but it would just be like them gambling or something.
Yeah, yeah. Now here's we talked about this before, and we're both on the same page. Okay, there's something behind this movie that had to inspire Mortal Kombat.
Oh, 100% so. Because of magic.
Right.
Because of magic.
JT,
magic.
Throw the picture up of the lightning guy. Okay, you guys are going to see a picture of the lightning guy. That guy looks like Raiden. Remember Raiden?
Yeah.
And Raiden was always throwing lightning bolts, and he had that hat, and he was do whatever. And then Shang Tsung. Throw up Shang Tsung. This is Lopan. Lopan and Shang Tsung looked exactly alike.
Yeah.
And you had the white guy, Jack Burton. There was a white guy in Mortal Kombat. And there was the two brothers in Mortal Kombat that were Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah.
They were like brothers separated at birth, and they were like mortal enemies now. Well, they're like the other two guys that fight with Thunder. Right?
Yeah.
And then there's the big, oh, we forgot to talk about how the Asian dude like
blew up at the end. Yeah.
He got so mad.
And that guy was like the best at karate, I think, in the whole movie.
He was actually a police trainer for the Hong Kong police for years. Like he taught martial arts to the Hong Kong police.
Oh, yeah. Well, real karate guy.
Right. Yeah. And he like, instead of going to try and fight him, he's so angry, he throws a childhood tantrum, which we all thought we could do. And he literally explodes.
That's
and then they're
awesome.
Out in the hall. And then like, And then it cuts to like them out in the hall, and it looks like somebody just threw like a bag of cabbage into the hallway with like blood. It was like that was supposed to be his body exploding. And then throw up the movie poster, JT, because the movie poster for Big Trouble Little China is It's incredible. This is awesome. Like, this is like what old movie posters used to look like. They were painted. They had everything going on in the movie. You could buy something like this and like hang it in your house and almost look like artwork.
It is cool. Tells a story.
You got Jack Burton on the cover, Kim Cattrall hugging him, Lo Pan in the background. Basically what Mortal Kombat probably could have put on their front, the front of their game. And we all have been like, because there was a Big Trouble in Little China video game. You know,
there was? Yeah, I didn't know
Atari.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something like that. It was in something. But there was a video game. But I know that there was. This had to have inspired Mortal Kombat. There's
100% no
way. So. Yeah. And there they are. That's.
And I think it really is just like a great movie from that time frame, because it really does have a Goonies feel to it. It has a Last Dragon feel to it. It has. There's a sense of fun that those movies in the mid 80s had that they should really bring back.
And Jack Burton, yeah, was the main character, but really or truly he was a sidekick, because he was, you know.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing about Jack Burton was is that he just ran into trouble. You know, there was no like
victim of circumstance.
There was no calculation in what he was going to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember like in the very beginning of the movie, it was like he's a very brave man. He just goes straight in. It's like if he was a football player, he'd be on special teams. Yeah, he's just like, I'll run straight down.
Right. He's like, I wouldn't go in there. Like, I'm going in there. You know,
I got to get my truck back.
Because he's worried about insurance premiums. So
he kind of reminds me of like Indiana Jones's like sidekick brother.
Yeah.
That's just trying to hang out and might have a little bit of a drinking problem. That's just like, I'm not as good at...
What is that guy's name? Marcus? Marcus, I think was his name? Because he was...
The other guy in the movie?
No. In Indiana Jones' buddy. Marcus? The guy that owned the museum?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the big guy with the beard?
No, I meant just like, that's who Jack seems to me. Like, he'd be like in movie land, if they all lived together, if there was a place where everybody in all the movies was real.
Wouldn't that be just amazing?
The coolest. Like Indiana Jones is like skilled and has it together.
Right.
Jack Burton's like a little bit off.
Yeah. Well, he's a truck driver.
Yeah. But he still has that same sense of adventure and the same heart.
Yeah.
He's just not as good at it.
Well, Jack Burton has like a form of Asperger's where he just like says whatever comes to his mind.
Hysterical.
No social graces. Won't give the girl a kiss goodbye. But he goes into it. And he's like, I'm at an airport. Might as well hit on this broad. And he's like, I'm going to go get my truck back and try and make out with this girl.
Yeah. Why didn't he make out with her at the end?
He kissed her in the tunnel, and then he kissed her with the geisha. But then at the end, he's like, you know what? The Pork Chop Express can't be saddled down.
Yeah.
That's it.
So great. Oh, babe, good. I can't be slowed down.
All right, let's go to a little trivia. Little Josh McCuga, Big Trouble in Little China trivia.
Man, you're so good at this.
For this. Okay. During the filming, Kurt Russell suffered from a bad case of what virus, which actually caused him to sweat for real instead of actually them putting fake movie sweat on.
I have no idea.
He got the flu.
He really did?
He had the flu for a lot of the movie, and he had a fever, and he just kept sweating. And I was like, so he's kissing girls and everything, but he's got real flu? How is not everybody on the set sick?
Sick, yeah.
Okay, two. The original script was a Western, and instead of Jack Burton's truck being stolen, it was his what?
Oh, I know this.
Okay.
It's cheating if I know it.
Well, no, go ahead.
His horse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was his horse.
Yeah, I remember.
Well done. Okay, the tour bus that Egg Shen drove is currently being used for tours in what national park?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. No, but I want to go. I have no idea.
Yellowstone.
Really?
It drives you around to all the geysers.
Is it painted the same thing?
It's painted yellow. Yeah.
Oh, dude, we should let's do that. Right?
Okay, the scene where Kurt Russell... oh, no, we already did that. It's a 1980 movie. Kurt Russell used cars. I didn't know that thing. Okay, over under 50 for the body count.
Oof. Does that include the street gang fight in the alley?
It includes the street gang fight in the alley. Over under 50.
Over.
Under 46.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Damn.
When you think about the fight, there's really only like 15 on 15.
Yeah.
It seems like there's more, but they're in an alley, so you know.
Yeah. Cramped spaces.
You know what's kind of funny is I bet that scene was like the inspiration for the scene between Ron Burgundy and the other gang. Like the other
100% so.
The same, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Kim Cattrall and Susie Pye, the girls that play, you know...
The hot chicks?
Yeah. Have what color eyes, really?
So I'm guessing it's not green?
Mm-mm. They both wear contacts.
I'll go with brown.
Yeah, that is correct. Brown. All right. Steve Simone coming in hot. Okay. Over under 2 months, the post-production process took. Over under 2 months.
I don't know. Under...
Over 4 months it took to edit and put this movie out.
I should have gone with over.
Okay.
Well, there's so much happening in that movie.
Yeah.
And I definitely think this was supposed to be something, and they're like, well, look, we can't explain it. All right, man?
We just made this up, and
there's
that's
too much going on.
I actually have two more questions, but we already did them. I blew over them in the opening. I think I just got a little too excited for Big
Trouble. Yeah, it was the best.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I finally saw this movie from beginning to end.
Me too. I definitely saw it from beginning to end, but I haven't seen it in so long that it was such like a welcome addition to my day yesterday. Just so much fun. This is so much fun. You guys, thank you so much for watching Guilty Movie Pleasures. Steve, you got anything you want to promote? You want to talk about?
My website, awesomesteve.com. I do a podcast called Good Times, which is similar to this, but not just focused on movies. I want to get you on there.
Let's talk about it after. And then next week, we are going to be doing... Shmova, you guys have asked us to tell you what movie we're going to do the week following. Next week...
Are we really going to do it?
Let's do it.
Announce it.
Okay, so next week, the movie November Man is released. And the quote in November Man is, "You're the November Man. Whenever you pass through, nothing lives." So I believe we're going to be taking Taken.
Yes, I love that
Taken
movie.
A modern classic on a guilty pleasure. Guys, we're going to be doing Taken next week because Steve and I have a very specific set of skills. You can follow us on Twitter at Josh McCuga.
At Steve Simone.
Like us. Go to our Facebook page, Guilty Movie Pleasure, on the Schmoes Know Network. Cody, our intern, is running the whole thing. He puts up posters. He puts on all kinds of fun stuff. We post all kinds of stuff on our Facebooks and our Twitter.
iTunes.
Go to iTunes.
Rate it. Subscribe. Because that really helps us. It keeps the show going.
The show going. And Schmoville, go to the SK Podcast is the YouTube channel. This is where all of these are released. Profiles, Jedi Alliance, Meet the Movie Press. Thank you, as always, for watching. And we'll see you next time. Till now, put out the gang symbol.
Later, dudes.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes Know Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Guilty Movie Pleasures. What's your pleasure? Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Guilty Pleasure movie episodes or other episodes of the Schmoes Know Network shows, get movie news, or to join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesknow.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of the Schmoes Know Network.